Congratulations, everybody. I don't know if anyone has said it to you already this morning, but you made it. Not here. You made it to February, and isn't that a great thing, right? Wow. Woo! Is it just me, or does the first month of the year always seem as if it has extra days, right? I mean, January just seems to go on and on and on. Anybody else felt this way, or is it only me? Go ahead. If you felt this way, say, oh, yeah. All right. Oh, you didn't say all right. Say, oh, yeah. All right. You know, the darkness and cold that we experience at the beginning of the new year just have a way of messing with our hearts. We become sad. Not sad as in college football is over and we have to wait 8 months until it returns, kind of sad. But we experience sad, seasonal affective disorder. Now, you might not even know that you have this, and so I am glad that you are here this morning, glad that you're tuned in with us online, because this might be something that you need to hear, because due to the decrease in daylight and the post-holiday letdown, the financial stress that comes with the credit card bills, the reduced social interactions, we begin to experience a lack of energy and a lack of desire to engage in just the basics of life. So we oversleep. How many of you went back to bed yesterday? You saw the snow and you got a little extra sleep. Anybody? Okay, y'all have to come forward today. All right? Because you are lying. I know some of you went back and you got in bed and you were like, I am not going to do anything today. Now, how many of you, well, you don't have to raise your hand on this one. But not only do we oversleep, we also overeat. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You throw in then some ice, you throw in some snow, and our schedules just get all out of whack. And we begin to turn inward, and we find ourselves lost in feelings of despair and worthlessness. And all we want to do is just sit on the couch in our favorite pajamas and binge Stranger Things while eating a pepperoni pizza. And I know that the introverts and the school teachers are all like, well, what's wrong with that? Right? Like, well, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. That's what I've been doing all weekend. But by the way, for those of you who are still stuck at home this morning, and wasn't it crazy how that the snow that came in, I mean, there was like a line. I mean, it was like, you know, you come into the East Brainerd area and everything is all dry, but the further you go to Ottawa and Cleveland, and I mean, it's just a winter wonderland, you know, in places. Really crazy. And so there's some of our friends and family members that are stuck at home and they are in their pajamas this morning. We just want you to know what things look like here in East Brainerd. So I took a picture this morning and man, I tell you, it is, it is paradise. It is just so nice. Of course, now we all look at the picture and we're all sad now, right? I mean, like, when do we get to go and enjoy that? Oh, well, let's stop and pray about our sadness just a minute, okay? So, Father, we do stop and we recognize that well, it has already been a long start to the year. And there has been darkness and there has been sadness and there has been financial stress. And we haven't always seen people as often perhaps as we would like. And it's cold and it's wet and it's icy. And we do just want to sit on our couch and wear our favorite pajamas and binge our favorite shows and eat pizza, or we just want to do anything but interact and engage because we're sad. We need some sunshine in our life, and Father, actually we need to slow down. We need to be able to take time for ourselves. To take time with you. And so our prayer this morning as we are together is that, Father, we just ask that this time together be used to fill our souls with light, because there's so much darkness in this world. Allow us not to just put on a happy face, Father, but allow us to live with hope and with understanding about the current circumstances in our life. And allow us to have a joy that is independent of circumstance. And Father, allow us to find our rest in you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray together. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed this before, but God has a way of just making us hit the pause button in life. And he doesn't seem to care whether we're just getting started with the story of our life or whether we're in the middle of some climactic scene. A flight gets canceled. A meeting is postponed. We wake up with a cold. Traffic stops on the highway because of a school bus or because of a funeral procession. A phone call causes you to have to adjust your schedule. You wake up on a Saturday morning and there's snow on the ground. Now, anybody here in the room, when you saw the snow yesterday morning, you let out a sigh of relief? Did you see the snow and it was like, ah? Because you knew that wherever you had to be or whatever you had to do, it was going to be canceled. And it's like God was giving you a permission to stay inside. You finally had a Saturday to rest. That there was no ball game to get the kids to. You couldn't go outside and do any work. You weren't going to be able to travel around and go to that next thing that you were supposed to be doing. And so you just looked out and saw the snow and was like, oh, thank you. This is wonderful. Because you just needed rest. You know, once the disciples returned from an adrenaline-pumping teaching and healing tour, and Jesus told them, let's go off by ourselves. Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest. See, earlier Jesus had sent them out to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and to share its healing, and now they're back. And they come back and they are pumped and they've got excitement because when these 12 friends got back together, they reunited with their teacher and they could not help but share about the things that had happened. And so you've got Peter talking about how that he had healed a man that had leprosy. And you have Matthew talking about a message that he had been sharing with a woman who had no idea about the coming kingdom of God. And there was Bartholomew, and you don't know anything Bartholomew did, but he was telling Jesus that day about what he had done and how excited he was. Because remember, these guys were ordinary dudes. They were ordinary men. They were not orators or doctors or scholars or saints. They were just regular dudes who had, by God's power, taken the Jewish nation by storm, and they were in demand. And Mark's gospel shares that there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples did not even have time to eat. Now, I know that that sounds like a badge of honor for some of us. Like, oh, wow, they didn't have any time to eat. I bet one day God is going to reward them by saying, well done, good and hungry servant. You were too busy to eat. But Mark doesn't share this insight. He doesn't share this insight as a commendation. You see, Jesus urged his disciples to slow down. Following Jesus cannot be done in a sprint, folks. And we cannot go faster than the person who is leading. Do you ever find yourself constantly speeding up daily activities? Have you found yourself doing that before? Do you read faster, talk faster, listen faster, and then finish other people's sentences all so that you can move on to the next conversation or to the next meeting? Do you pull into what you believe to be the fastest lane at the red light, depending on how many cars are there in front of you or what make and model car it is? Or if you see that handicap tag hanging down from the rearview mirror? Do you consider the arrival time on your GPS app as a personal challenge? Can I get an oh yeah on that? Do you get depressed if someone in another line at the grocery store checks out before you? Oh, that just burns me up, you know? Or have you done this? Have you gone to a fast food restaurant and you've seen the line that's going around the building, and you look at the car that is sitting there, right there at the at that, you know, order box that they have, and then you park and you run in and you try to get your order before that car is gone, and you get back out in the parking lot and you check, and you, am I the only person that does that? I guess I'm a unicorn. How about this? Have you found that despite all of your rushing around that you're constantly behind? Have you found yourself becoming a specialist in multitasking, especially when you are in your car? You make phone calls, you listen to ebooks, you eat your food, you drink your coffee, you shave, you apply makeup, you make crude gestures, all at the same time. Or how about this one? Have you discovered that you have a diminished capacity to love and to be loved? You see, love and hurry are incompatible. Love takes time, and time is something that people who are in a hurry never have a surplus of. See, a lot of us have probably experienced something that's called sunset fatigue. It's when you come home at the end of the day or week to those who love you most, and to those who need your love the most, but you're unable to give anything because you're too tired and you're too drained and you're too preoccupied. So you get home and you find yourself rushing, and you find yourself rushing others, and even when there's no need, you come up with mock races to do. All right, kids, let's see who can take the fastest bath. Who can brush their teeth and be first? You see, you can't slow down. And so you speed others up to come along at your pace. Well, I say you can't slow down. You can't slow down unless you take that drink. You can't slow down unless you take that medication, that pill. You can't slow down unless you, what? If you can relate to anything I just said, you might have what some call hurry sickness. Don't worry, it's not a personality disorder. And it's not even just the result of poor planning. Hurry sickness is actually the sign of a God-depleted soul. So Jesus says, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest. But Jesus, we say, I don't have time to eat, much less go off to a quiet place and rest. Luke chapter 14, you might want to look there. If you got your Bibles with you, if you got your phone, you got your app, whatever it is that you like to peruse God's word with. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus was invited to participate in a Sabbath meal at the home of a prominent Pharisee. While he was there, he interrupts the moment by healing a man that was in attendance. Now, the other attendees were too much in a hurry to see that there was someone sitting around them that needed help. They were too busy to be bothered. But every person and every moment was precious to Jesus, so he touched the sick man and healed him and sent him on his way. And then, knowing that the people in attendance were missing something, he tells a parable known as the Great Banquet. Now, when the image of a banquet is used in Scripture, it is used metaphorically. And a banquet is a metaphor for the place where God addresses the deepest needs of his people. And so you see this sometimes in the parables. You see it more literally in the Passover meal and the Last Supper. Banquets are the places where God meets the deep needs of his people, where they come and they are filled and fulfilled by God. So in this parable, you have the master, or this king-type figure, and he invites people to come into his feast where they're going to sit down, where they're going to rest, and their needs are going to be met and be fulfilled. And then once the food is ready, well, the man, he then sends out his servants to tell everyone, all things are ready, come to the feast. But the people are apparently not very hungry anymore, because you could read beginning in verse 18 that they all begin making excuses. Like, we were going to come. We meant to come. We plan to come, but we just can't attend. Maybe if they had just been given a little bit more time to plan or to schedule or to prepare, but they just couldn't stop what they were doing for some meal. And here are the three excuses that were given. Well, number one, the first guy says, well, I just bought a field and I have to go and inspect it. It's kind of a reference to personal gain. It's like saying, well, we just bought a house and, you know, there's all kinds of things that go into buying a house and there's some renovations that we have to do and we just really don't have a lot of time right now on our hands because everything is kind of spent working on the floor or there are the walls or there is this leaky roof. The house is going to keep us busy for a while. We've got the furniture to buy, the colors to pick out, so we're not going to be able to come and attend the banquet. The second person says, I just bought 5 pairs of oxen. It's a reference to work and responsibility. It's not that the person doesn't want to go to the banquet. It's that he or she cannot go because there's just too much work to do right now. The business is expanding. They've made a significant investment in oxen and they need to keep at it. It's the busy season. They can't take time off because after all, say it with me, time is money. Things are full. The calendar's full. So they can't come to the banquet. Well, a third person gives this excuse. I just got married, and my wife won't let me come. Actually, he doesn't have that part. I just assume. He says, I appreciate the invitation. I do, but here's a reference to relationships. There's just so much to do as a family right now. So much to do as a family, and we've got trips to take, and now you've got kids that are, when they get out of school or when we're not traveling so much, when there's not all these things that we're having to do. And so I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to say no to your banquet because I just don't think we're going to be available. And so the invitations to the banquet are delivered and the people come up with all these different excuses. Thanks, but no thanks. I've just got so much going on. I've got so much work to do. I've got too much play. I've got too many relationships. I've got too much religion. I've just got too much. And I can't sit down and eat a meal. See, I think their problem is our problem. They just didn't have time or room for God. So the people are not going to slow down long enough to eat. They're not coming. So the master says, all right, we're going to go find people who aren't so full of themselves. So he says, go quickly into the streets and alleys, go out into the town, go out and invite the poor, go and get the crippled, the blind, and the lame, all the people that cannot hurry. Go into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full. Go find the people whose lives aren't so stuffed. And you invite them to come to my table. Invite them to come and to be filled. For none of those that I first invited will even get the smallest taste of the food at my banquet table. What's he saying? They will never find rest. You see, because we have stuffed our lives with so many other things, because we find our identity and worth in what we do and what we earn and in what we achieve, we cannot slow down. Because if we slow down, we might get passed. And if we get passed, someone else will get the position, someone else will get the raise, someone else will get the house, someone else will get recognized. You see, I think it's precisely because we have sought to satisfy ourselves apart from God that we cannot slow down long enough to enjoy the things of God. Our hurriedness causes us to miss the laughter of our family. We miss the beauty of a sunset. We miss opportunities to share comfort and healing with the church. We miss the banquet. We miss the source of our deepest need because we just hurry by. Whenever Emily, our daughter, is home for a visit, she often takes our dog Tiger out for a walk. And more often than not, she will return from the walk out of breath. You see, Tiger knows that when Emily walks him, he can go and do whatever he wants at whatever speed he wants to do it. And so to watch them from the dining room window, you have to wonder who exactly is walking who. And actually, there is no walking involved. Tiger runs, and Emily tries to keep up. That's the game. And I've tried to remind her, you're the one holding the leash. You are actually the one in charge. You can stop. But each time it's the same story. And it's probably the same story for you. You're the one holding the leash to your schedule. You're the one that's in charge of your family's calendar. But like Emily, you are trying and failing to keep up with life in our runaway culture. I think it's time to learn a new way. See, our hurriedness is a sign of a God-depleted soul. So Jesus says, let's get off to a quiet place and rest a while. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. Now, church, hear me and understand, Jesus' invitation is not to hurry to a church meeting. It is not to hurry and volunteer to lead a ministry team. Oh, we would love it if more people were all of a sudden a part of our weekend gatherings, or if there were more ministry leaders and more ministry participants. Okay, all those things are great, but remember I said earlier, a banquet is a metaphor for the place where God addresses the deepest need of his people. And religious activity, while reminding us of our deepest need, is not our deepest need. The people of Jesus' day had religious activity. They knew about hurrying the temple, and they knew about hurrying to see the priest, and hurrying to offer sacrifices. But Jesus comes on the scene and he offers something different. He offered time with God. Time with him. And Jesus says, this is your deepest need. Because he is the answer to our God-depleted soul. And it is only when we find our worth and our identity in him that we will ever really start to slow down. Because we'll start to realize that all the things that we say yes to, so many of them we do because it's in that we find our value, our worth, and our identity. Let me close by speaking to something that maybe hits a little close to home. This week, did you wear your pajamas inside out and sleep with a spoon under your pillow and flush ice down the toilet and do the snow dance, praying that it would snow? Not because you enjoy the beauty or fun of all the white stuff, but because you knew that if it snowed, you would have a reason to stay home, unplug, and rest. Is an act of God the only way that you can hit the pause button in your life? Or did you wake up yesterday, like me, upset that there was snow on the ground because it was interfering with all your plans? You had things to do, places to be, events to prepare for. Friends, you don't have to chase the dog. We don't. We do not have to chase the dog. We can stop. whether it snows or not. You see, Jesus gives us permission to pause and to rest with Him. And thanks be to God for that. So again, Father, we say thank you this morning. Thank you for the forced pause that many of us woke up to yesterday. And Father, you see us, and you know if in our heart of hearts we were just so grateful because finally we could just stop, and you know if we were all upset because, well, now everything was messed up. Allow us to hear the words of your Son today. Come away with me to a quiet place and just rest. Father, help us to find that rest, not just when it snows or not just when we can't make it to work or if schools get canceled, or help us to enjoy that rest on a daily basis. Allow us the opportunity to choose again the way that we structure not only our calendar but our schedules. And because, Father, we understand that it's a hard issue. And that for just so many of us, our hearts just don't have room for you. There are so many other things that are going on, so many other things that we have been told are important, so many other things that we have been told make us who we are. So it is my prayer that whether we are here today or whether we are able just to enjoy being under the bed or under the covers, who knows, maybe we crawled under the bed today because we just didn't want to come out. Father, it's just my prayer that we would learn how to pause, that we would learn to hear your voice and to follow where you lead. Because God, I just have to think that all the places that we go and all the things that we do, you have not led us there. So thank you for the pause that we've had this morning to be able to consider your ways again and to be able to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for energizing us, for convicting us, for loving us, for forgiving us, and for giving us permission to rest. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray today, and amen. Church, as we close out this time together, we enjoy being able to sing and encourage one another. If you're new to our church family, I want you to know that one of our elders will be in a prayer room that is located back in our lobby, and if you just like some private time, just to be able to have a conversation, just to be able maybe to talk about the things that we've already been discussing, or maybe it's something else that's going on in your life and you would just like to be able to have some one-on-one time with someone that you know will be praying for you, and we want you to know that that's available to you. We always have the opportunity as we sing to encourage one another, and if someone feels that they need to come before this body, whether it be to admit that, you know what, I have hurry sickness and I have a God-depleted soul and I need the prayers of this church body. I need the encouragement of this body. I need the accountability of this body so that I might take a different path. That opportunity is available. And we always encourage you to be able to confess the name of Christ and to be baptized, and we will celebrate with you. We're just thankful to be able to have the opportunity to be together as a church family. And for those of you who are at home and joining us today, we want to remind you that opportunity is available for you as well, just right wherever it is that you are. just to be able to have your own conversation with God, to be able to have your own conversation perhaps with your family as you're there in your pajamas and talking about the week that you have, just to be able to say, guys, maybe we need to rethink our schedule and maybe we need to adjust some things because we've been getting ahead of God. Let's use this opportunity to allow the Spirit to speak more closely to us today. And if there are adjustments that need to be made, let's make them. And if there's an encouragement that can be given, let's give that. Whatever your need might be, we encourage you to sing along and let's stand and give God praise.